The cross of Christ defies understanding or explanation apart from the truth that God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God and the sin of man confront each other in the death of Christ. Love is the key to the deepest meaning of the cross. God is love. Christ, the eternal Son, is love. His death for the sins of the world, therefore, was the expression of the very nature and essence of the being of God. The cross was the ultimate demonstration and proof of the reality and meaning of love. Just listen to Paul's words in Romans 5:8 when he says, "But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God's love is not a condition by the merit or lovableness of what is loved. It is offered to the most undeserving, the ones in utter need. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Despite of our alienation and ugliness, our corruption and stubbornness, our shame and infidelity, love was willing to pay the price. This is the way of love. It recognizes the inherent worth of the person loved. The cross shows the worth of sinners, not their worthiness. Because God so loved us, we can receive the indescribable blessing of the forgiveness of sin and become children of a loving Father in heaven. All of this is the meaning of the cross, found in the love of God in Christ. Love explains the divine initiative revealed by the death of Christ. God was not waiting for lost man to come in desperate supplication for some remedy for his alienation and bondage. God knew from all eternity the moral ruin, the helpless plight, and the hopeless depravity of sinful man, and he devised means for his reconciliation and redemption. 1 John 4:10 says, "Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Love is the explanation of the substitutionary sacrifice of the cross. The Father, in order to reconcile sinners to himself, puts Christ in their stead, identifying the obedient Son with the sinner's sin, and for Christ's sake, he accepts forgiven sinners as the body of those in whom he is well pleased. This word we have too from Paul. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. "He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Nothing else other than the love of God in Christ could have conceived so great a sacrifice or had the courage and devotion and endurance to carry it through. The cross proves that God is for the redemption of sinners, even to the extent of Calvary. Paul says in Romans 8:32, "He did not even spare his own Son, but offered him up as for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything?" Only a love like that of Jesus, who came to make himself one with sinners, that he might bring sinners to God, explains his fate and sets its purpose in the right perspective. The love of God provided what we did not deserve. It did for us what we could never do. It provided a sacrifice for our sins and the means to give us a new status before God, from condemnation to acquittal, from bondage to freedom, from guilt to innocence.